Well, the UK's on lockdown. But Disney Plus has launched, so I mean, swings and roundabouts that you can't touch for fear of infection. You are still on my mind when I recline beneath the sheets, abandoning the streets, waiting for my heart to arrive home so I am complete. Thoughts of the rest of the world, forsaken, thankful to feel my head so light, my heart race, bed bound with affectionate influenza. Waiting for my heart to arrive home to heal me. I'm going to be real with you. I don't actually know if those are actual symptoms of the flu or whatever. I'm not a doctor, you know. And I feel like I say this all the time, but I feel the need to tell everybody, especially now in these crazy hyper-medical times in which we live. I am not a doctor. Please do not come to me looking for medical advice. But I thought they were cute little symptoms to put in, you know, your heart being like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And your head being kind of like dreamy and like, oh, am I really here? You know what I mean? But I'm not a doctor. Unless you could be like a doctor and like being over emotional. Is that something you could? I'm going to look that up. I'd have to do my master's first and get that out of the way, but still. but I was just laying in bed the other day, and that just kind of all came out, and I was just writing it on my phone, because I just had all these like images in my head of, you know, love is a sickness, but it feels good to be sick, and to be cured is not to fall out of love, but to have someone who shares that sickness with you so it doesn't feel as heavy and overwhelming. And that to me is when you feel good about it, you know. Now, I was just thinking about it the other day, lying in bed, being very dramatic, as I always do, and it was good. Okay, so I looked it up. You can't be a doctor and being over emotional, but I could get a PhD in creative writing. So I might do that eventually when I'm like 30 or something. I don't know. At some point in my life, I might consider it. It might be cute. And then I can, you know, when I get like documents, like when I renew my passport or whatever, I can make them put doctor on it and be like, yeah, I'm a doctor. But also I worry about that because I could be like, you know, kind of out and about, and everyone will be like, is there a doctor around? I'll be like, yeah, I'm a doctor. And they'll be like, there's a medical emergency. And I'll be like, oh, shit. I mean, I could write a sonnet about it or something, but I can't actually really help you with medical stuff because I'm not qualified. And also, that kind of shit is scary to me a little bit because it's too much responsibility for me. I can't do it. You know, I know a guy, but, you know, me personally, no. I could, you know what, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write a novel about this, and then we're going to adapt it into a film, because I can do the screenplay too. I could probably do the music for it, and, you know, we'll figure it out, and it'll be a big Hollywood hit. But, you know, in terms of actually curing this person, I am not the one. Which I imagine would not be a popular thing to say during a medical emergency. But then again, I do not find myself in many medical emergencies. And the few times that I have been involved, I just call a proper grown up and I let them deal with it. Because me personally, girl. it's not realistic. I mean, look at me. Do I appear to be the kind of person that knows what to do in these situations? Because if that's the impression that you have received, I'm sorry. I watch a lot of medical dramas, and sometimes I think, okay, maybe I couldn't cut it as a doctor, but I'd like to be like a nurse or something. Like, that would be fun. But then I just, you know, I don't know. I feel like it would be really difficult. And obviously, in these crazy times that we're living in, we're learning a lot more about, you know, how much, you know, medical staff actually do. I think, you know, because I used to watch, like, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. And the nurses were always, like, the most glamorous and, like, cool ones, like, in the show. Like, they were so cool. And so, like, they were always the pretty ones in the cast. Like, they always cast, like, really pretty girls as nurses. So it's like, oh, it's so glamorous and so, like, Hollywood and dramatic and this scandalous. But, I mean, you also have to do serious stuff. And frankly, again, I don't feel like I'm equipped for that. Firstly, I have no hand-eye coordination. And some of the stuff nurses have to do looks super fucking fiddly. So it's just, it's not going to happen for me. And also, I don't think I have it in me. I don't think it's something that everybody can do. I think it is, you know, you have to have those skills, you have to have those attributes that make you the kind of person that can help people like that. And I don't think that's something I'm really capable of. Which is probably why, you know, we as a world should perhaps be, oh, I don't know, treating them better. What a concept. What an idea. I talk more about that a bit later in the show. There was a little situation for NHS workers. And, you know, for a very long time, actually, I've been an advocate of, you know, we should pay these people a lot of money because they know what the fuck they're doing. And they're actually quite important to a lot of people staying alive. But I think, you know, that's something we should think about. I'm never going to be able to be that girl. It's not going to happen for me. it's one of those things I have to, like, watch from afar and just, like, use medical analogies and poems and just, like, you know, be myself and do what I'm doing and admire what they're doing by, you know, binge watching medical dramas from the 90s. that will be my contribution to the medical field. Just like watching, like, old episodes of, like, different TV shows. But, like, I do that when I watch these shows. I get, like, all obsessed with it as an idea and as a career for myself. God, when I was, like, binge watching, like, Prisoner and Wentworth, and I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna be a prison guard. I'm gonna be the governor of a prison. Oh my god, I kind of want to go to prison. But then I was like, girl, you don't want to do any of those things. You'd be terrible at all of them. You couldn't be a prison guard because you cry when people yell at you. You couldn't be the governor of a prison because I feel like you would get yelled at even more. And you couldn't go to prison because, girl, you wouldn't survive like 5 minutes. You are literally, like, so unequipped for this. You are, girl, you are, like, you know, an idiot baby. Like, you would not survive. You would not come out of there alive. And if you did, you would never be the same. Girl, we are not going to prison. We are not working in a prison. We are not even looking in the direction of a prison. What the fuck are you talking about? And obviously now I'm like, oh, I want to work in a hospital. Oh my god. And it's like, go. You know what? Stick to what you're actually doing, because you can do that without getting into trouble and hurting yourself. You know what I mean? Keep your expectations where your like neckline lies low. Girl. Low. Coffee in the morning as I am tearful and unstable. Weeping underwater, spending 70% of my shower slumped against the wall, wailing for you. Grateful that you are on the other side of the door, so you can't hear me. Crying in the shower is the greatest drama that a person can have, I feel. It's such a beautiful moment because you're like, oh my God, high drama, high fashion, you know what I mean? I kind of love doing that and having that dramatic moment and being like, yes, I am that queen, you know? Because it's like, I just feel very powerful in that moment of like vulnerability, but also like, maybe I'm controlling all this water with my mind. But and it's good to be able to write about that sort of moment of being overwhelmed emotionally and capturing it so you can keep it and look at it through dry eyes at another time. When I was having my little moment, you know, having a little dramatic shower cry, I felt very emotional. This is about to be like a very unsubtle segue, by the way. I kind of felt like a music video. Speaking of music videos, dun dun, my new music video for my new single, Dream Serene, is on my YouTube channel right now. The new single comes out on Friday the 3rd of April, but you can watch the music video right now on YouTube. And yeah, that's the thing. Listen, I had to get some kind of promo in somewhere, and this was like the best way I could do it. I felt, I said I felt, that was for the gays. But yeah, so new music video is out. New single will be out soon. And I hope that you like it. Because I do. I had a good time doing it, so. Feeling a little bit isolated in this whole self-isolation situation? Well, the best friend you can have is a book, and there are plenty of them available during the Smashwords Authors Give Back sale, including my two latest poetry collections, Old Brown Eyes Is Back and Deus Ex Machina, which are both free in the sale. You can find lots of books from some of your favourite authors at $2.99 or below, including many books that are free. Find out more at smashwords.com. What the actual fuck is going on with this whole politics business?
Everyone really needs to stand up and say that, okay, no, this is not politics in the normal British way. This is something darker and bleaker, and it's got to stop.
Peace is possible and must be achieved.
We want Scotland to remain inside the EU, and we want the UK to remain inside the EU.
Labour is weak and divided, and completely unable to offer any sort of opposition to the Tories.
And I say to all the doubters, do
so, my God, what a week. Boris Johnson has tested positive for COVID-19 or coronavirus or whatever we're calling her now. Naturally, I wish him the best. He's working from home, and he did a little video on social media about how he's working from home, which is nice for him. But, you know, some people's employers are not being that good about it, which is a huge problem that we've had. So the UK has been essentially placed into sort of a lockdown situation, in that we're not supposed to leave the house for non-essential things. You can leave for shopping if it's essential, if it's like food or medicine or something like that. You can leave for work if you absolutely have to, but you're encouraged to work from home where you can. And you're allowed out for like one exercise a day or to go to medical appointments, right? The problem is that a lot of employers, since this was announced, have essentially been pretending that, you know, that their work is essential and so their staff have to come in. For example, Sports Direct tried this, WH Smith tried this, Waterstones did for a bit. You know, basically places that don't really need to be open. Nobody needs right now, in the middle of a fucking crisis, to go and buy like a fucking yoga mat or, you know, a fucking bird watching magazine or, you know, fucking, you know, shit like that. Like, nobody, they are not essential purchases. So the staff that would have to work in those shops should be able to stay at home where they're safe. And yet, you know, those companies, they all fucking tried it. They were like, no, we're essential, we're essential. And, you know, the government sort of gently said, but are you? And most of them have relented. There was a lot of public campaigns, which I think really did sort of put the pressure on more than the government sort of softly telling them, don't be dicks. There was a lot of petitions from the public, a lot of campaigns to boycott businesses that were forcing staff to still work unnecessarily. So, you know, that is lessening, but there are still people who realistically do not work for essential services, but are still being forced to go into work by their companies because they don't have a choice. You know, they're told if you don't come in, you don't get paid, and they need money. They have rent to pay. They have bills to pay. They need to buy food and, you know, things like that for their family. So, it, you know, it's not as simple as people just yelling at them, just stay at home, work from home. Unless the companies step up and take responsibility and look after their staff, there's not much the staff can do. And you know, the government's response has really just been sort of, again, just sort of softly saying to these businesses, oh, come on, please close. But with the new coronavirus emergency bill situation that's, you know, kind of come into law now, you hopefully they will have actual power to be able to stop those businesses. From what we can tell, the police will be able to, you know, go around to non-essential places that are open and say, go the fuck home, which will allow the staff to go home. So hopefully that will happen. The job retention scheme that was announced a little while ago by the Chancellor isn't actually accessible yet to businesses. The way that the scheme would work is that workers are placed on what's called furlough. So I think that's how you pronounce it anyway. I just looked at it written down. Anyway, so because the workers aren't working, the government covers 80% of their wages. So the staff still get paid, but the government covers, you know, what they're willing to cover. Of course, the expectation is that the businesses will cover the additional 20%, but that's realistically not going to happen for many people. But that scheme is not open yet. People cannot claim that money yet. Businesses can't claim it yet. It's likely they should be able to by the end of April, but nobody knows yet. And then obviously there was the issue with self-employed people being just completely missed out from that. well, everybody's favorite chancellor. Because after he announced the job retention scheme, everyone was like, oh my God, Rishi Sunak, wow. He should be prime minister. What a statesman. What a generous man. Oh my God, we had no choice but to stand this iconic legend. Oh, what a skinny queen. And I was obviously a bit confused by that because, I mean, like, if you look at, like, other countries around the world and what they're doing to help people during this, it's a lot better than what we have. But, I mean, whatever. You know. Anyways, so he finally fucking announced something for self-employed people. It took him forever to do it. And frankly, it's a bit shit. They will pay 80% of self-employed people's sort of a wage equivalent up to £2,500 every month. However, it's not accessible until June. And if you have lost track of time because of the whole self-isolating business, it is currently March. There are several months until June. How are these people supposed to pay rent? How are these people supposed to pay bills? How are they supposed to eat? What if they need medication? You know, because obviously, you know, things like paracetamol, obviously it's not super expensive, but it is quite lucrative right now. So maybe it will get more expensive. I don't know. But, you know, shit like that, you're sort of encouraged not to get on the NHS because obviously it's a bit of a waste. But anyway, the point is, how are these people supposed to live until June? You know? And you know what? A fucking gen, right? All these people who are well off and don't really have issues with this kind of thing, we're all fucking celebrating it on social media. But then there was like a bunch of self-employed people who are struggling at the moment who were like, what the fuck? June? God, that's like a whole season away. That's in fucking summer or some shit. What the fuck? And, but again, the people that don't really need this government support are sitting there like, oh, Rishi, such a man. I truly do not know a better man. Oh my God, he's so perfect. Oh, do you know what? I actually think he's kind of cute. I think maybe I'd like to date him. Yeah, we can go for champagne lunches. Oh my God, Rishi, I want you to play James Bond. I want you to be the Prime Minister. Oh my God, set the budget, Daddy. But the normal people are like, fucking June? And his only answer to people who are going to struggle between now and then was, oh, they can apply for universal credit. Well, with the 5-week wait, girl, basically, if you apply for universal credit, there is a 5-week wait before you get money. You can get an advance payment, but that has to be paid back. So you're not really getting, like, you know, it's not useful if you have to pay it back, because then you just end up with less and less as time goes by. And that's his only fucking answer for these people. You know, we're going to make you wait months for the money that you desperately need to survive on, you know, because our government waited forever to fucking react to a crisis. But you can apply for universal credit and wait fucking 5 weeks, or put yourself in debt, or whatever you want to do. This is your king. Girl, couldn't be me. The absolute fucking stay of it. Anyways. You know who else has coronavirus? Prince Charles. Yeah. Again, I wish him the best or whatever. I hope he gets better soon. But you know what? I'm going to say this. He traveled to Scotland, right? And then he was fucking tested and he was diagnosed with it, whatever. The Scottish government specifically told people before he traveled up to Scotland, please do not come here if you are not from here and you do not live here, because quite a lot of our smaller communities
do not have as many resources as bigger places. So if you come here and you need medical help, you are taking that away from other people who probably need it more than you and will not be able to get it. You know, do not come here. We have quite a big elderly population. There is a huge chance that if you have coronavirus and, you know, your symptoms haven't manifested yet, then you are going to infect people who are going to be far more vulnerable than you. But I guess Prince Charles decided the rules don't fucking apply to him because of some fucking hereditary title that he did nothing to earn. So he just went up there anyway. And then, oh, surprise, bitch, he's got coronavirus. And so, you know, all the staff that he's been working with, because, you know, they stay fully staffed, those royals. They have fucking drivers, security guards, probably some poor person that has to like fluff his pillows and shit. I don't know. All those people, right, who are going to be using services where he is staying in Scotland. They're going to be going to shops because obviously they need to eat too. They are going to be staying in accommodation. They're going to be walking around, seeing people. They could be infected too. But of course, because they're not part of the royal family, they can't get a test. Charles can get a test, but I'm pretty sure his staff probably won't. I'm pretty sure that people that have potentially come into contact with him but are not also royals may not get a test. You know, NHS workers can't get a test, but fucking Charles can. Anyways, all the people that work with him could potentially be infected, and they are walking around potentially infecting other people in a place that has a lot of vulnerable people. And that is specifically why the Scottish government told people, do not fucking come here. Stay the fuck home. So did the Welsh government. So did the Northern Irish government. So did like pretty much every fucking government across the world, to be quite honest. But you know what? Miss Charles is like, you know what? I'm gonna go there. I don't give a fuck. I'm going on my little Easter holiday. Bitch, Easter is cancelled. Easter is cancelled, girl. Jesus is like, you know what? I'm gonna postpone this shit like Coachella. I will be back at a later date. Fucking relax. Just stay home. Self-isolate. Be safe. You know? Like, fucking listen to him, dude. You didn't need to go there on your little holiday. You could have just stayed where the fuck you were. But you decided to be selfish. And for what? You know, and I, like I said, I hope he gets better soon. But I hope he learns from this. I really, truly do. I hope he learns some humility. And he learns to treat the people that allow him to have the lifestyle he has with some respect. Because if it was not for the people of the UK, he would not have this little charmed life. He would not be able to just fuck off on holiday for Easter or whatever. He would not have fancy cars and suits and fucking crowns and tiaras and shit. Because he would just be some regular fucking guy. Some regular 70-year-old living on the shit pension that the government gives them, with a bus pass he can only use after 9:30. That would be his life, were it not for the regular people that he has now put in danger. So I hope that he thinks about that while he's up in self-isolation. And I hope that he decides to be a better man. I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, we're in a surprising timeline. Who knows? Maybe. So the police force in Derbyshire had a very normal one on Twitter.com. They're sending out drones to essentially, like, socially shame people for going outside. They've taken footage of people, they put it into a little video, like shaming them for walking their dog or, you know, stopping to take photos while walking and things like that.
However, the people in the video are all sticking to government advice. They're sticking to the rules. The rule is you can go out either by yourself or with the people in your immediate household for exercise. You know, you have to maintain social distance, so you can't be, I think it's within 6 feet of anyone that you don't live with. But as long as you stick to those rules, you're fine. And you're only really supposed to go out once a day. But there are no, you know, set rules about how long you can be out for or where specifically you can go. Now, these people in the video, it's like someone just going to walk their dog, just them by themselves, or two people that live together going on a walk, you know? And so it's like, well, why are you filming these people? It's a bit fucking weird. What are you doing? It's a bit sort of counterproductive. I mean, you know, I can understand what they're trying to do. Obviously, they're trying to encourage as many people to stay as close to their homes as possible. However, until the government has mandated that you have to stay like within 500 meters of your house, it's not going to happen. It's not realistic. Maybe that's what should happen. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't work for the government. But I don't know. I think they were trying to do something and it kind of backfired because everyone was like, girl, shut up. They're at least trying to social distance. Leave them alone. So it was a bit cringy. It was a bit embarrassing. We also, this was Thursday night. We all had a little moment for the NHS, the National Health Service. There was a campaign started on social media that everyone was to go outside their house or to open their windows or whatever. And like clap to show applause and praise and love and whatever for NHS workers, which is cute, you know, and it's been done in other countries. Other places have been doing that, where they have, you know, had those little moments to show appreciation to their healthcare workers. And it's nice. I think it's a cute idea. I don't have any real problem with that, to be honest. I thought it was nice. Obviously, there's a lot more that you can do to show appreciation for healthcare workers. You know, tell them directly, you know, if you happen to be in hospital or you've, you know, you find yourself in that situation, you know, say thanks, buy them some chocolates, whatever. You know, if you're in the shops and you see someone, obviously don't go too close because obviously we're not allowed to do that at the moment, but just sort of yell at them across and be like, hey, you're doing a great job, you know, but in a very gentle way. You don't want to startle them. They're probably very tired. But yeah, the clapping thing was, it was cute. It was nice. There were some people who were being quite cynical about it. There was a lot of people all giving the same hot take of like, oh, instead of clapping for NHS workers, why didn't you not vote Tory? And it's like, I get it. You want to get your little moment in and hope your tweet goes viral. But like, can you just let people fucking have this for like one fucking second? And most of the people giving this hot take were not actual people that work for the NHS. Like, it was just like really bitter, like, sections of left Twitter who were just just wanted to get their moment in. And it's like, can you just let people fucking have this? Like, a lot of people haven't even fucking left their house this week. This is a brief moment where they can, you know, step outside for a second, have some fresh air, not too much human connection obviously, and just have something together with everyone. Like, just fucking let people have that. You know, you can yell at people for voting Tory anytime, but just fucking let people have this, you know? And I mean, I get their point in a sense. Obviously, it would be helpful.
if we didn't have, for the last 10 years, conservatives in power who were very set on the idea of stripping the NHS of the resources it needs to function properly. Yes, that's true. That would have been very useful. But we are where we are. And some members of the public wanted to do something that everyone can do, regardless of, you know, financial ability, location, you know, just something everybody could join in and do. You know, most people have the ability to stand at their window or stand at their front door and clap for 2 minutes, right? You know, it's something that doesn't cost money, which a lot of people don't fucking have right now. It's something that doesn't require you to leave your immediate house, you know, your immediate area. It's something most people could do. It was a brief little thing. Do you really have to, like, make it into an excuse to start screeching about how you were right all along and everybody should have listened to you? Like, you know what? You might be right. Maybe everybody should have listened to you, but, like, read the fucking room. You know, save the lecturing everybody for another fucking time. Like, you know, you can do that this morning or whatever. Just let people have that one fucking moment of solidarity and happiness in what is, quite frankly, a very fucking bleak time. It was Jeremy Corbyn's last Prime Minister's questions this week. He will be moving on. Labour will be announcing their new leader soon. Bye, Jeremy. I guess I really am going to have to change the fucking intro for this. So, yeah, I will get to that soon. But, yeah, Jeremy is... he's not retiring. There was a really awkward moment during Prime Minister's questions where Boris Johnson said something about Jeremy Corbyn retiring, and Jeremy Corbyn looked very upset by that. And he fired back and he said, you know, I'm not retiring. I'm still going to be a member of parliament. I'm still going to be holding you accountable. Good for him. Fine. I mean, Theresa May, of course, the former Prime Minister, still an MP, not really making a huge amount of impact, just sort of sitting in the back, taking occasional speaking engagements. If Jeremy Corbyn wants to do something different to that, good for him. You know, I support that. And he was actually, he did a great job on this week's Prime Minister's questions, which I don't often say, but he, you know, he really kind of, you know, he sort of had a great balance of being obviously understanding of the situation that Boris Johnson finds himself in, but also making sure that he was kind of holding him to account and getting those answers, which was great work. But yeah, Jeremy is going back to the backbenches. Which, you know, some would argue was where he was most comfortable. Labour will have a new leader soon. It's looking very, very likely that it is probably going to be Keir Starmer at this point. I don't see it for Rebecca Long Bailey. I don't really see it for Lisa Nandy. I think it's probably going to be Keir Starmer. In terms of deputy leader, that I'm not so sure about. I don't know. But we'll see in just a couple of days. I'm kind of excited, I'm not going to lie. It's quite exciting. So we'll see who is the new leader of the Labour Party in a few days.
speaking of leadership elections, the Lib Dems have postponed theirs until May of 2021, which means Ed Davey is staying on as interim leader until that point. So far, from what I've seen, the only candidate that has, you know, put their name forward was Leila Moran. As far as I can see, I don't think anybody else has, you know, put themselves in for that. Again, I think Leila Moran would be a fine choice. I think she'd do well. But it's the Lib Dems. So with our current voting system of first past the post, it's the Lib Dems. It doesn't, you know, it's not going to make a huge difference. So, you know, it sucks in a way for her, because obviously she got her little promo campaign out and now it's over for another year. But I guess it gives her lots of time to get it together, and try and get her face in more places, get to know the public, so that she can hopefully do a better job for her party than Jo Swinson. But we'll see, because after all, it's the Lib Dems. There is a story that I've just seen on social media, and it's sort of to do with politics, but not really. So I wanted to share it because it's a positive thing in a way, and I feel like that's the kind of thing we should have. It's about a little boy called Jimmy Dean Hudson, and he has been delivering free toilet rolls to his elderly neighbours. He lives in Southend, and he said he wanted to help people, and he's been spending his pocket money on toilet rolls to take round to his neighbours who are vulnerable. Just, what a little legend. We had to stan. Honestly, that has actually, literally, it's actually made my day. That's adorable. That's so cute. I mean, to know that a little boy, 7 years old, can have a heart so pure like that and just want to help people, it really gives you hope that after all this is over, maybe we'll be okay. Maybe there'll be something to rebuild from. Because I really do think that all the things that have happened and the way things have gone with this whole crisis is going to change some things about society and about the way that certain people are treated and the way that certain people act and the way that things have been allowed to happen. I think there are going to be changes. But knowing that in the midst of all this, a little kid can think, I'm going to take my pocket money and I'm going to help people that need it. It kind of gives you hope. Well, the Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, also now has been confirmed to have tested positive for coronavirus. Again, I hope he gets better soon. I hope he recovers quickly. Especially as, you know, he's the fucking health secretary, so it's quite important that he is up and about and doing his job. I have a feeling that this may be something that the whole cabinet is going to want to look out for. Maybe all sort of self-isolate for a little while, just to be safe. So quite a lot of the government working from home this week. Yikes. Last night I dreamed I got on a bus to hell, and by some chance had memories of you in my mind, so There you stood, nicely passing out the strings of my heart that you had collected over the years, and I silently took them back when I could, wondering how you got your mind back, if your dog was still alive, if you ever redid your living room, if your black shirt with the clear buttons was ever the same after I drowned it. You wouldn't answer my questions. Pedantic preacher of a faith I no longer hold, cruel sphinx that still lives to torture little girls who never learned lessons and never passed exams. I am frightened when I dream of you, though I know you belong to the ocean now, but when I see you, I see bridges, atonements, a religion that held me like a newborn baby and then tossed me to the flames, and I am livid, lucid living in a delirious dream that I didn't invite you to. Tonight, I will ask you again, and as the room gets lighter when I'm closer to waking, you will lean in to answer, kiss my cheek, and then vanish. I had this weird fucking dream once about, like, I was fucked up. I was at school, but everyone was an adult, but we were still at school. Now, that was how I knew it was a dream, because my school my school that I went to got shut because it was really shit, and so they just closed it. Well, they turned it into an academy first, and then it was still really shit, and they were like, you know what, fuck this, and they just closed it. So I know it can't be real, because you can't get into any of the buildings anymore, because the school is just, like, there, kind of abandoned, probably haunted. But anyway, nevertheless, there I was, and it was just fucking annoying, because, like, there was all these people that obviously I used to know, people from school, and I didn't understand what was going on or why I was there. It was really confusing and disorientating. And everyone was fucking yelling at me as well. And I was like, what the fucking hell is going on? Why are you bitches here? Why are you bitches yelling at me? And there was this guy. That's complicated, you know what I mean? And and I kept asking him, because it's like, it's like he was the one person that I thought would tell me and would, kind of be there for me in this troubling time. And and he was just being so fucking, like, annoying and like, you want the answers? I don't think I can give you the answers. And I'm like, bitch, don't play games with me. But he wanted to play games. And I'm like, well, we're all adults now, hon. You really want to do this? He really wanted to do this. And it was so fucking weird. And I woke up the next day and I was like, this weird mix of, like, angry and, like, upset. And I still don't really understand it or what happened. It was weird. I don't really know where it came from. But I woke up and I was like, what the fucking hell was that? And you know what? This morning, I was on the Twitter and I read this thing. Apparently people that have coronavirus get, like, weird dreams. But I don't think I have it, because I don't have any of the other stuff. And I just have weird dreams all the time anyway, so it's probably just that. But man, that was weird as fuck. London City Airport closed, and I lived the past again. I was waiting at the DLR station, chasing a fantasy that you would arrive, dreading my memory of your departure, locking me back in your embrace, peaceful silence in the rush of air traffic that transforms into foot traffic. There was peaceful silence as you held me closer, your fear leaking through your fingertips, staining my coat with your regret, our ancient love born again. On the floor, crawling and crashing around our legs as you held me in peaceful silence that did not exist,
as I stood at the DLR station, remembering the dread of your departure every Friday night for what felt like forever. 19, knowing you would not return, knowing you only thought of me when you craved red lingerie and red lip gloss. Knowing I was a dealer too naive for the game, 19, ready to wait for a journey to end that had never begun. And now, today, 28, I do not wait. I haven't seen the platform in years. I haven't watched the skies for you. I know I could find you if I wanted to, because you came back, but you couldn't make it all the way. And I never looked, because I found a new place to haunt. They actually closed London City Airport quite recently because this whole coronavirus business. I think I've read somewhere they're going to use it to like fly in supplies because they're setting up a hospital in the XL Centre. So obviously it's close and, you know, so that'll be what's going on with that. I mean, I don't have anywhere to go, so it's not an issue in that regard. But it just made me think about when I was younger. I used to go there all the time. I was 19. This guy left. And I guess at the time I thought it broke my heart. I don't know how I feel about it now. I don't think it did. I think it was one of those things where you just snap. Because, like, my whole life is, like, every time I love somebody, every time that I let someone get close to me, they would leave or, you know, or it'd get fucked up. And then it just happened again. And I knew it was going to happen. And, you know, things weren't even that good. So I don't know why I cared, but I did. And it consumed me. And I used to go, I'd get the DLR to London City Airport. I'd get the train. I'd go and I'd wait at the airport for him to come back. And I still do not fucking know why, because I don't know. I guess I look back now and I think, girl, what were you waiting for? It was stupid. You didn't really actually feel that deeply. It wasn't that serious. He was actually not a good person. But obviously I can look at that, you know, several years down the line, and I can say that because that's the reality of now, and I can see it now. But then I couldn't, and I was so obsessed with, you know, everybody leaves, nobody ever stays, so I'm gonna wait for you to come back. And it was such a fucking waste of time and a waste of money, because transporting around London is not cheap. And so just seeing it at close the other day, it just made me think, my God, I really wasted all that time. I could have been out with my friends. I could have been, you know, meeting someone new. I could have been having fun. And what was I doing? I was waiting at a fucking airport for a guy that I didn't, you know, for what? Like, girl, I was sad, but I just thought about it. And, you know, in a way, I'm glad that he left, because, you know, he made me feel like I wouldn't survive without him. So him going and me being on my own, in the end, it took a fucking while, but in the end, I learned that I could survive by myself and I didn't need him. And so I'm glad he fucking left, you know? And I think sometimes about what my life would have been like if he hadn't left and he'd have stayed. And I don't like that image. I don't like it at all. And so, you know what? It hurt then, but I'm glad it happened.
Social media right now is full of stories of people that work in retail, people that work in public services, talking about basically everyone being fucking rude to them. It's like Christmas all over again, but worse, because there's a fucking infection out there fucking lurking and like being all weird and shit. I don't know how many times we have to have this fucking conversation. I really don't. It should not need to be said to fucking fully grown adults to be nice to other people. You know, the people that are working at shops, you know, they are there trying to help you. People shouldn't need to be told, be nice to these people, be polite. Say please and thank you. Don't yell at them. Don't be mean to them. Like, we have reached 2020 and people are still needing to be told, the person behind the counter or the person who's helping you find what you're looking for is a person. That is another person just like you. And they have feelings and they have stresses and worries of their own that they are dealing with while trying to do their job. They, you know, that they're not some kind of, you know, AI hologram or a robot or whatever. It's a fucking person. Don't be a dick. And yet here we are having to tell people this again and again and again, because apparently the slightest bit of stress just turns everybody into some kind of horrific, like, person who yells at these people, who, quite frankly, are having to go to work in a circumstance where most people are being told, do not leave the house. And they are still going out and they're doing their jobs to help us. They are helping everybody, really, when you think about it. You know, you want food, you want medicine. They're the ones who are working to make sure that you have it. They're not being paid very well. You know, retail work is not well paid. They do not have, you know, good wages. And yet they are essentially one of the sectors that keeps huge parts of the country going. And look at what they're having to part with. And you know what? I just think at this point, if we are still having to tell people, you know, don't yell at people if you can't find what you need in the shops. They're trying their best. They're doing what they can. You know, don't shout at people if you have to, you know, stick to social distancing guidelines and it makes your shopping experience a little bit less fun or whatever. Don't yell at somebody because it's taking a bit longer to buy what you need. You know, if we are having to still tell people this, fully grown adults, these are not children being told this. It's not children going up and yelling at people in shops, making people who work in shops cry. It's not children doing that. It's adults. It's people who are like 20 years old, 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old. If you have reached that point in your life, if you have reached adulthood and you are such a spoiled, self-centered fucking weirdo that you think that kind of behavior is acceptable, maybe you're a lost cause. Like, you know what? I've never worked in retail. Frankly, I don't think I'd have the patience for it. I don't think I could deal with people talking to me like that and acting like that. I don't. You know, I'm going to be real. I've never made like a super special effort to be nice because I don't have to. Because, you know, I know from the way that my life has always been and the way that I was raised that you're just polite to people. It's not a hard thing to do. It's not something you have to go out of your way to do. It's just a thing that you do, right? Like, surely that's a thing, you know? Surely it's just something everyone knows, you know? You say please and thank you. You don't shout at people. You don't bully people, you know? I don't understand why so many people in this godforsaken world apparently don't know these things. Like, who the fuck raised these people? Like, I can't believe it. And it's so hard every day seeing retail workers talking about their experiences, talking about how people have been shouting at them, people have spat at them, people have, you know, pushed them and belittled them. I just... It's shit like this that makes you think, you know what, all this effort to save the world, what the fuck are we doing? Maybe it doesn't need to be saved. Are you looking to make this quarantine a bit more queer? Well, coming soon as Alphabet Radio, the weekly pop-up LGBTQIA+ radio station with great content from your favourite LGBTQIA+ creators. Coming to you every week and launching very, very soon. Find out more at alphabetpride.com. Wow. Until next week, I guess. Thank you to the top tier Patreon supporters, Amanda, Kylie, Melissa, Anna, Sam, Katie, Christina, Josie, Gabriella, David, Eleanor, Alicia, Emily, Andy, and Tyler. Thank you very much for supporting this show and lots of other things I do. If you wanted to do that, you can on Patreon. You can support this show, writing projects that I do, videos, all kinds of fun stuff. You can do that over at Patreon. From $1 a month, you get lots of cool and exclusive stuff. Behind the scenes content, early release stuff, stuff I do exclusively for Patreon. So you can check that out. The link's in the description or on my website, which is jenniferwan.com. You can find lots of other projects I do over at the website, which is, again, jenniferwan.com. With the link's in the description as well. Lots of videos and stuff you can read on my website, as well as information about other things I do, like, you know, music and books and so on and so forth. There is a new collection or a mini collection of poems that's just gone up on the website, so you can check that out if that is something that you would be interested in reading. you can also support this show and other projects that I do through one-off donations on PayPal or Ko-fi, which gives you access to the early release program, and the link for that is in the description as well. Or by leaving a review for the show on your podcast provider, because that helps to tell your friends, tell your mum, tell your abuela, tell your girlfriend, your boyfriend, tell all the people in your throuple. I mean, we're on lockdown. What the fuck else are they gonna do? This is like weekly doses of human interaction, man. Like, we're doing it. Like I said earlier, you can find my new music video, Dream Serene, on YouTube and my website. And the new single will be out on the 3rd of April. So if you did want to check that out, you can. I think that's everything. Oh, if you TikTok, I don't know if you TikTok. I don't really TikTok. Like, I have like an account and I put up like one TikTok, I think, but I don't really get it as a platform. But nonetheless, if you do TikTok, my songs are now on TikTok as well as on Instagram stories and Facebook stories, so you can use them in that. I'm gonna be real, I don't really know what that means, but I get paid when people do, so I don't know. I'm an old person now. This stuff is confusing to me. It's like, you know, when your mum thinks that Facebook is like a PC application rather than a website. You know, that's me with TikTok. But anyway, so that's a thing that happened. And this episode is now a thing that happened because it's over. But we'll be back next week, providing the government hasn't, like, I don't know, locked me in a secret location. But hopefully that won't happen, so I'll see you next week. Good night, my love.